Veronika Jermes, and today we have another guest from Amcham Ukraine. I'm very happy to invite Yulia Tserishenko from Amcham. She's a senior business development coordinator, and we will talk about her experience of the first days of Russian aggression and the war in Ukraine, and how she feels about it, and what is her experience. So, Yulia, welcome, and I'm happy that you are today here with us.
Thank you, Veronica. Thanks for having me.
Maybe the first question, similar to those that I asked some of your colleagues, is, Yulia, what were the first days of war, and how do you remember maybe February 24th and what came afterwards?
I think I will always remember February 24th, like all Ukrainians. I suppose the tension was there maybe a few weeks before, and it's something like you expect something to happen, but you're really not sure what's going on. And yeah, the tension was there. And in fact, on February 24th, a friend of mine called me at 5 a.m., me and another friend of mine. And I woke up because my phone was ringing, and I thought, oh, that cannot be good. When somebody gives you a call at 5 a.m. Yeah, and I picked up the phone, and I mean, my friend's voice was just like, you realize something serious happens, but I couldn't hear anything, so I said, are you sure? Because we do have people in Ukraine like firing fireworks and something, but and she said, well, my windows almost blew out, and that kind of gave me a signal that you know we have to get up and actually go and listen outside what's going on. So I went on the balcony and I heard very distant explosions, and this is the time when I realized that something is terribly wrong. So basically then the next steps is you try to think really fast what you have to do. And one of the things that I knew for sure is that no matter what, we need to get out of a city. When, you know, I don't think anyone ever had experience being in war, and you don't know how the war should be conducted, what targets will be hit. So you kind of automatically assume that a bomb or a rocket can just fly straight into your house. So yeah, the next hours probably were the most stressful in my life, because I live with my grandmother and she's 87, and I woke her up. We have a dog, and you know, you have to think really quick what you should do. I think I called all of my relatives and they were surprised. No one expected it to be a full-scale war, and no one was prepared. And yeah, the next hours, just packed everything that we could, and I was waiting for some sort of decision again, whether we should leave, what are the next steps. And one of the things that we did, we actually had a call, like a staff meeting call, if you can call it that. And I thought that was quite helpful, because you do realize you're not alone. There are people with you in the same situation, and just hearing other people and sharing, you know, their emotions, like worries and so on. It was helpful. It was helpful because then we started to share those videos from military guys. Because, you know, when you find yourself in this situation, you think, okay, no one's prepared. If I'm not prepared, no one's prepared. But then you see those video of the guys, of the military guys out there in the fields, and they are encouraging civilians, saying, hey, everything's fine. We are prepared. We know what we're doing. Don't worry. And that kind of gives you the, you know, the strength, thinking, oh my God, those guys fighting there. And, you know, you should, you know, put yourself together, and you know, you have to be strong.
So from the staff meeting, it was with your Amcham team, I believe, or was it?
Yes.
Okay. So
Yes,
where
of
you
course.
did you get some advice of what to do, and based on that you decided either to stay or leave the city? You were in Kyiv, right?
I was in Kiev. To be honest, I would not remember now the exact advices or anything like that. We had a few meetings beforehand, a few weeks before, and you know, Amcham was very supportive in saying, "Okay, you guys, make sure you have cash. Make sure you know have at least a you know like a batteries or something else." So there were advices like that, but I think the purpose of this call was actually to unite people and say, look, we are all in this together, and we worry for the team, and I think that that was something that was very helpful at that stage, for sure. But again, everyone has to decide for themselves where to go, if you can go somewhere, because some people don't have anywhere to go. And until maybe 3 p.m., I didn't know where to go, and I also called my parents actually in Australia, and like that was about 5 a.m. in Kyiv, and that's the beginning, just the beginning of war, so they didn't know. So you could imagine my parents' emotions when, you know, their daughter calls them and says there is a war going on, and my voice was probably, I don't know, I was very scared, to be honest. And for them, being 15,000 kilometers away and not being able to help in any way, and you know, then the messages in the media started to come in, and they realized the scale of the war, and obviously they were very worried. And one of their advice was actually gotta leave city. I have grandparents living outside of Kyiv, about 100 kilometers away, and that was the something that I wanted to do, just to leave there. And while I was waiting in Kyiv, you could hear the explosions, very loud, and you just don't you're not sure where it's coming from. So
like not knowing
are,
that
scared.
whether the bomb can explode right next, I mean, next to your house in a minute. I cannot imagine the first days. So you decided to move to your grandparents' house outside of Kyiv, about 100 kilometers. How long did you spend there, or did you stay there with them? Maybe what were their reactions also to the war?
Actually, that was a very quick decision, because my aunt decided finally, because, you know, again, people don't know, you know, what to do. They decided that they will go, and they said, let's, you know, you should come with us. And I said, of course I will. And the one memory actually that stick in my mind is basically I took a taxi to a particular place where we met. So I had to change cars. And as I was changing the cars, I can clearly remember the tanks were going in the opposite way, in the opposite direction towards the city center. That Ukrainian tanks, but it feels surreal. Like, you just don't want to believe that this is happening. So once we got there, I spent together with my family, it was eight of us actually in a house, about a month and a half all together.
Did you feel safer? How is, maybe my next question is about the safety of you and your family. So you spent a month and a half. Did you, obviously there were some targeted cities or areas, but all across the country, but since you left Kyiv, did it feel safer, and are you safe now, and is your family safe now? Maybe that's my second question.
At that stage, I would answer yes and no, because the first night when, like, you sort of relaxed, but the news are coming in, obviously you feel stressed. It's just, yeah, it's difficult to just comprehend what's happening. On the next day, I think it was 7 a.m., I woke up because the fighter jets flew over our house. And this place where we're staying, it's a really small village, not that many people live there, and it's quite distant. So, but the fact, you know, that you have to wake up from fighter jets, and you cannot really confuse that. And that's a sort of a reminder, you know, that although you are safe now, for now, there is no guarantees. And there was another moment which sort of reminded me, like, you live there for a month and a half. Sometimes fighter jets would fly over the house, maybe about five times. But other times it's pretty quiet. But again, when you read the news and you see that's, you know, that they're 30 kilometers away from Kiev, still you have to live through this, and you're not sure whether you'll come back to your home, whether you will come back at all, when you can, you know, get out, and so on and so forth. And so another moment that I remembered is I was on the phone with one of our members from the United States, and we just started a call. So obviously asking how we were doing. I went outside because, you know, you have to get good internet connection, and we started speaking to him. And one moment I said, hang on a minute. And I could see these four helicopters, like heavy transport helicopters, flying very low over my house. And this is, again, feels surreal, and it's a reminder that you may feel safer, but you're not safe anywhere in Ukraine. These are Ukrainian helicopters, but still, it's a reminder that the war is going on, although you may not see it, like, for yourself.
Yeah, you said you stayed there for a month and a half. I understand that you're not in Ukraine anymore. You grew up or spent some time you moved with your family to Australia, where you are now. So I believe that you are safe now. How about your family, your aunts, your grandma, other members that, I don't know whether they left the country with you or stayed in Ukraine? If you can maybe share briefly.
Yes, I've left Ukraine. I went through Germany, went through Poland to Germany and Germany to Australia with my grandmother. One of the moments that he had to get a visa for her. So there were a bit of a complications. That is the reason we couldn't leave straight away, but we were pretty set here. But and also we were leaving when you know, Russian troops already left from the Kyiv area, which was made me feel a bit safer, because they're not nowhere near. And my family lives now in the same place. Like, my grandparents stayed in the same place in that village. So my other relatives, they live nearby. There's another village nearby. So they're all safe. Everything's fine. Hoping, you know, the war to end very soon, like all of us. But I do have friends and you know, close friends living in Kiev at the moment. And you know, every time when you get a message about air raid alert, you sort of hold your breath, you know, at that moment, hoping it's, you know, it's not going to be, they're not going to be targeted by another missile. But so although you far away, you still I've heard somewhere that people who are far further away from the war, but who has been in war, they've experience is even more difficult for them to experience that, because you're sort of far away and you cannot do anything but just worry and about your, you know, friends, relatives, family. So that's how it is.
Wow. I would like to ask, to me, which is, this is a kind of a interesting thing for me, because there is Ukraine and Russia are, or I've always considered them as a friendly, if not, I would say, almost brotherly countries. The culture, the language might be similar. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I always assumed so. Maybe it's not true, but that's how, due to the Soviet Union ties from the past, etc., that's how we consider or kind of feel about it. So I assume that many families in Ukraine have ties or have family members in Russia. I would like to ask whether you have some family members in Russia, whether you were in touch with them since the war started, and how they perceive the war or what is happening? Do they believe you when you talked to them about what's going on in Ukraine?
We do have relatives in Russia. Unfortunately, they choose to believe the TV and the Russian government as opposed to their relatives. And after so many months, we kind of just realized that we cannot do anything about this. It's you cannot explain to them. They believe the TV, they believe the government, although they do have family here, and they even visited not that long ago. So yeah.
To me, it is like incomprehensible that one would believe the TV rather than your family. Do you know the reasons why would people believe, or have you thought about like how is it possible that my aunt or cousin or whoever you might have in Russia would prefer to believe the TV? Like, what is the reason behind it?
It's propaganda. I mean, the way I see the situation, some people, they decided to leave Russia on the February 24th. For them, that was like the end point. That's it, we're leaving. I cannot ask another person to leave their lives in that country. You know, maybe they like it. Maybe, you know, it's difficult to build everything from scratch. Like, we do understand that, but I do not understand the messages that, you know, there are fascists in Kiev. Or somebody is oppressing me because you speak Russian, not Ukrainian. These are purely propaganda. And they chose to believe it. Chose to believe propaganda as opposed to relatives. And again, there is nothing we can do about it. We tried. And I'm not the only one, probably, in Ukraine who has done it. So that seems to be the reoccurring situation for many Ukrainians.
And I would like to ask, because the war has been ongoing for several months now, I would like to ask, how is your life nowadays? You are working for AmCham. I would like to ask whether you still have work to do, whether except the war, there's something that brings a little bit of joy and happiness to your everyday life. How is your current work and life that you live these days?
So, well, I am staying in Australia. I work for AmCham. I work on Kiev time, which makes my days shift a little bit. It's like from 4 till 1 a.m., but still, it's manageable, actually. I have free mornings now, but yeah, AmCham works. We do have a lot of requests. Our members are quite active. I think maybe the first month was a bit of a quiet month, which is fair enough. The whole country, the business people, they felt shock, which is quite understandable in given circumstances. But now they are quite active, and just to see how international companies, they want to do everything to help, and every single meeting, you know, with a company from anywhere starts with you know, words of support to Ukrainian and Ukrainians, and it's quite valuable to see that kind of support. I see it every day at work, you know, and thank God we have a very a great team that you know keeps on you know working and delivering even more results. So we're very result oriented, and I think that's what it is. I mean, the war is going on, and but the life goes on as well. So we cannot just stand there and do nothing. No, we have to do good things for Ukraine. You know, the reconstruction is coming up. The conference was in Lugano, where it was all presented, the reconstruction plan, and we speak to different companies on a daily basis and see how, like, the interest in Ukraine and in supporting us and providing their goods, services, etc. So it's just an immense support from the whole world. And we feel it every day, so which makes us, you know, keep going, I suppose.
Perfect. No, I'm glad that I think it's one of the things that it's nice to see the international community come together and to be supportive and trying to help. I'm proud of my government, who did some of the steps to help Ukraine. We sent some, I believe, some military equipment, etc. So it's nice to see that even a small country like Slovakia is trying to help with the little that we can. So, and I'm glad that you feel the support, and then it's translated even with that little bit of a feeling that there is someone who is trying to help, and therefore I feel like this will be a good end for us. And once the war is over, we will try to rebuild our country. So it is nice to see that you keep working, keep going, and I'm glad you shared, Yulia, your story with us. I don't know if you'd like to add anything else.
Well, again, I just want to thank for all the support. Especially, I want to mention all the AmChams provided us support and our team, and value it very much, and every interaction that we have with any countries, especially, you know, those countries that are nearby, you know, in the border with us. We are very thankful for what you guys have been doing for us and for our people. And I know one thing, that a lot of Ukrainians, including myself, we are waiting for the day when I can say I can come back to Kyiv. And we really hope that this day will come very soon, and that the war will end with our victory. So again, thank you so much for the support.
Thank you, Yulia. I like to say that you use Slava Ukraine. It's in Slovak version.
Herojem Slava.
And thank you again for sharing your story. I believe and hope that the war in Ukraine will soon come to an end, and the good days, the better days, and the restructuring of your country will come soon, and you will be able to go back to Kyiv and say, I'm glad to be back and hoping to help my country again to get on the strong feet. So, Yulia, thanks again. Best wishes, and have a nice rest of the day. Bye-bye.